Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I hope you remember that last week I told you we're playing a little bit fast and loose with the liturgical calendar this year because All Saints Day falls tomorrow on November 1st, as it always does. And Reformation Sunday is today. But we observed Reformation Sunday last week, and we wanted to be able to observe All Saints Day on the Sunday closest to the day, and that, of course, is tomorrow. But the readings that we shared today were from lecture for All Saints Day. And they're interesting for a variety of reasons, but the reading from the book of Revelation is appropriate for us because some of you may know that Martin Luther did not want the book of Revelation to be in Scripture. He thought it was confusing, that it would lead people astray, and frankly, as we've seen how this book has been handled and interpreted over the years, Luther wasn't far off the mark. So he had written his translation, and he had felt that he couldn't just remove a book from the Bible, but he pushed it back to the end with some epistles, which he also thought didn't reflect the theology that Paul had shared. What's wrong with the book of Revelation? Well, we know how people have misinterpreted it over the years. And hopefully we all remember the past, in the 1980s, there were some people who claimed that the book of Revelation was actually foretelling a showdown between the United States and the Soviet Union, and that Gog and Magog were the United States and the Soviets, and the big battle would take place at Armageddon. And that is not what the book of Revelation was about. It never was about that. The book of Revelation is confusing because it is poetry. It is not a vision of the future. It is not some kind of text that we need to decipher to figure out just what God is going to do at a certain date, but it is a testament to faith and hope by John of Patmos, and was written during the time of the Roman Empire, and John of Patmos wasn't a big fan of the Romans, and frankly, he, like many Christians, had issues with the empire and the way it did things. So he talks about the world to come, and he envisions what it might be like. And he sees the New Jerusalem, and the imagery he uses there is phenomenal. You know, it would be a great scene in a science fiction movie as the city descends down to the earth. But it's just poetry. It is just one man's imagination testifying to what God will do. So much for Revelation. We'll just set that aside. We're going to talk about John now. And unfortunately, John's got his problems too. And I could spend a lot of time talking about the anti-Semitism one might find in John, but that's not what we're going to focus on today. This passage has caused a lot of mischief over the years. And what are we to think about Lazarus? And more importantly, what are we to think about Martha and Mary as they're depicted in this story? If heaven is supposedly this great place where we will go and we will be bathed in the love and presence of the Lord for all eternity, why would we ever want to leave? And yet, Martha and Mary are upset with Jesus because they think he could have stopped Lazarus from dying. Now, we've talked about the bad theology there that sees God as some cosmic sugar daddy who will take care of all of our needs and wants. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that God exists to serve us. On the other hand, We exist to worship God. And this All Saints Day is a really good time for us to think about those who have passed from us, who are no longer with us. And this is the first All Saints Day that I've observed on the calendar since my mother passed away. And you'll remember that was back in May. Now, I do not want to sound callous or unloving, but my mother was 101 years old, and it was time for her to go. I miss her, and there are days I want to call her and share a vignette with her or comment on something, and I can't pick up the phone because there will be nobody to answer the call. Now, that was the case before she passed away. And we need to think about those who passed away and what we want for them and what we want for ourselves and those relationships. And we have people we love and we say it would be great if they were here. And there are members of this congregation who have passed away over the years, who we sorely miss. But would we want them to have remained with us if they were in physical pain, if their bodies were breaking down, if they were unable to enjoy all the gifts that God has shared with us? I remember visiting with an elderly member of our congregation a few years ago, and she had passed the century mark, and we had a lovely visit, and she had all of her wits about her, and we talked about her family and her time here in Lebanon and how much she had loved making music. And she then said to me, "I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm done." And she did not look like she was about to fall over and die, but she knew she had a long, full life. And I cannot begrudge her that desire to go and pass away. Now, I do not know what heaven will look like. I do not know what the afterworld holds for us. And I don't know if we're all going to turn into some kind of spiritual beings who will just bask in the presence of God, or if we're going to wind up having some corporeal form and we'll have wings and we'll be playing the little harps, and hopefully Ernie will be able to lead us in that, but not for a long time. Or it may be like some beachfront resort, and everything we'd always hoped for would be. We don't know, because nobody has ever gone to the other side and returned. People, though, have imagined what death holds for us. And that's normal, because humans are curious. And we imagine that people we don't like will go to a place of fire and brimstone, and they'll have a fate that will be worthy of Dante's Inferno. But we won't go there, so we never imagined we're going to do that. I think the call for us on these days is for us to remember those we loved who have passed away, and to think about how they brought joy and meaning into our lives and out of the wider world, and to give thanks for those people, and to honor their memories, and then to get on with the business of living our own lives. My father died back in 1977, so that was a long time ago. But I still have this really vivid memory of driving to the general store in the town next to ours on the morning of July 4th, 1976. And we had a white Dodge convertible, and we went to the store and talked. And frankly, I don't remember about what. But we went to get the New York Times, and of course it was a big day because it was our nation's bicentennial. And there was also a lot going on internationally, and we talked about the news headlines. And that's a memory I can always carry with me, and I thank God for bringing my father into my life. Same with my mother. And there are so many memories I have of her, and I remember what a trooper she was coming to my graduation from Harvard when it was raining that day, and it used to be a myth around that Harvard never experienced rain on commencement. That's not true. It rained and rained and rained, and it was something biblical. But we still enjoyed the day, and it was great to have my mother there, and I graduated from divinity school. Rachel was there, and even Chip was there, if not fully present. But he'll have this opportunity to think about these things in the future too. And Caleb and Kobe will have lots of great people to remember. And all of you will have people to remember. And we can be sad and we can wish for the past to repeat itself. But that is not where we should be living our lives. We should remember what this passage from Revelation talks about, making all things new. And we are people of faith who believe that with God's support and power, we will be able to make all things new. The past is done. It's over. And if we've done things we're proud of, we can try to remember those things and do something similar in the future. If we messed up, we can acknowledge our error and try to do better going forward. But we should not be living in the past. We can learn from it, and we give thanks for it. But we are creatures who live in the moment. And this moment will yield itself to the future. And hopefully, everybody here will remember the presence of God, the God who loves us. And we won't spend time speculating on Lazarus and what he went through after he came back and what our physical bodies would be like if we were raised from the dead. Those are futile questions. We know that Jesus loved Martha and Mary. They were his dear friends. And they were his supports in ministry along with the disciples. And going through the death of a loved one is trying, and it can be hard. But rather than focus just on that loss, let us remember the blessings we have experienced by having these people in our lives, and let us think about how we might be blessings to others today and in the future. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for all of the saints who have gone before us, those who are famous and those who are quiet and unknown. Thank you for having brought some of those saints into our midst in this congregation, and help us to follow their example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.